Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Tuesday, the 8th day of the month of Kislev, just 16 days away from the start of Hanukkah. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their really incredible continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my great honor to introduce Rabbi Yoshua Yemans of Congregation of Bnei Yisrael Oyv Tzedek in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Yemans slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. They'll be followed by the Misha Berach L'Cholem and Achenim. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Yemans to learn more about his wonderful community in Philly. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Yemans.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Herman, for this opportunity, and a very big thank you to the Orthodox Union for all that they continue to do for Klal Yisrael on a daily basis, especially all that they have done during this entire pandemic, these very challenging times. I want to begin by taking all of you back a couple of months ago to perhaps one of the more inspiring moments that I have experienced during this pandemic. It was a phone call on Erev Yom Kippur with a young gentleman in our community who Nevach, just a couple of days prior to that, was involved in a horrific car accident. He was driving down the lane, and somebody was coming in the other direction, simply swerved right into him and hit him head-on. His car was totaled, his knee was completely shattered, and he was immediately rushed to the hospital for emergency surgery. He was in a lot of pain. And as he told me, will not be able, according to the doctors, be able to walk normally for an entire year. And I spoke to him on Erev Yom Kippur on the phone, expecting when I called to speak to someone who would be feeling depressed and dejected and in pain. And there was a lot of pain that he was feeling at that time. But what I encountered was a young, mature individual who expressed the same chipperness and happiness and strength that he always did. And he told me on that phone call, he said, Rabbi, I have to tell you, it is so clear to me that this particular incident was clearly min hashamayim, it was clearly from God. Had I just done a few more reps at the gym, had I just been going a little bit faster, a little bit slower, the impact of this accident may not have even occurred, and if it did, it would not nearly have been as severe. It's so clear to me that God was orchestrating this to happen right before Yom Kippur. And sure enough, he said the firehouse was literally right down the block, and as a result, an ambulance was able to get to him in no time. And I remember listening to this young man speak like this. Here is a man who literally turned 21 years old in the hospital at that time, who had great aspirations for the upcoming year, of what he was going to accomplish professionally in his personal life, all of that to be dashed, just like that, completely out of his control. And he was able to find the maturity and the resilience to live with a perspective that is so spiritual and so built on faith. The notion of how we feel about things that we experience, the ability to have a positive feeling and a positive outlook and perspective on challenging moments, even physical challenging moments, can do wonders for us. We just read this past week's Parsha and Parshas Toldos on Shabbos, how Rivka Imenu, Rivka, our matriarch, was also in terrible pain. She was struggling with a very challenging pregnancy. And she didn't know what to do. And the pasuk says, "Vayomer, Vatomer im kain." She said, "If so, if the pregnancy is going to be so challenging, lama ze anochi?" And the earlier commentaries explain what those words mean. She was almost asking out loud, if so, then why am I here? Why am I born? Why did I even daven for this? I don't want this. And so what did she do? Says the Pasuk, Vatelech Lidrosh Es Hashem. And she went to go speak to Hashem, to daven to Hashem. The Pasuk says, Hashem responds, and he says, Vayomer Lashnei Goyim Bevitneich. Guess what? It's twins. And you have two nations that are going to emerge from these two children. And then that's it. And then the narrative continues. And when Dr. Palkovitz spoke in our shul a few years ago as a scholar in residence, he quoted somebody, and I forget who he quoted, who pointed out that we see, it sounds like from the Torah, that Hashem's response seemed to have mitigate or alleviate the physical pain that Rivka was feeling. Despite the fact that nothing physiologically changed, those encouraging and comforting words by God somehow seemed to have an impact on the physical pain that Rivka Imenu was feeling at that time. In today's world, perhaps we would refer to the concept and the relationship between our mind and our perspective and our physical well-being is the placebo effect. The notion that even something fake, even something not real, but the mere fact that a person can have the impression that they are being healed creates certain positive expectations which can have incredible impacts not only on their emotional, psychological well-being, but it can even go further and even impact very positively their physical well-being. The major difference obviously being that with a placebo that involves something totally fake, and of course in the case of Rivka Imenu and the young gentleman in the car crash, their perspectives were based on absolute truth, on a real spiritual reality. And so therefore all the more so, such an attitude undoubtedly has the capacity to help alleviate and mitigate any even physical pain perhaps that a person is feeling. And so I think it's critical for us to think about this idea at this particular time, to recognize that although we may be going into a very seemingly challenging winter, where cases around us are rising here in Philadelphia as well, the city is making further restrictions on what we can do, what we can't do. And we can look at the short term and say, oh no, when is this going to end? Things seem so negative. Things seem so down and so gloomy. But at the same time, we have the capacity to also look at things in a positive light, whether it be on a pure practical level with the knowledge that in the last couple of weeks, the development of these vaccines are incredibly encouraging signs, realizing that it's as if the light is now at the end of the tunnel, is being shown at the end of the tunnel. If we could just buckle down, let's get through the next few months, and hopefully, Nirtz Hashem, please God, with God's help, in a few months, we will slowly be able to heal ourselves and to emerge from this pandemic. Whether it means being able to have a perspective of faith on challenges that we face, or even if it means without actual faith, but just simply being able to see the redeeming qualities and to focus and zero in on the redeeming qualities in our lives and to lower our expectations in life and to appreciate the things that we have and to appreciate the basics. These thoughts, the more that we can think them, the more that we can perseverate them on them, undoubtedly will have an incredible impact, not only on our psychological well-being, but also on our physiological well-being as well. We're now going to begin the recitation of Tehillim, beginning with Parakhov Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai roi lo atzar. Vinos deshe yarbitzeini, halnei menuchos gina haleini. Nafshi yishovev, yancheni v'magli tzedek l'man shemo. Gam ki yelech v'gein salmoves, lo irara ki ato imadi, shustecha mishantecha heim hayinakamuni. Tarach l'fon ha'shulchon enegen sorai, Mishanta b'shelen roshi kosi revaya. You're now going to recite Parak Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121.
Shir lemala sesayina yele arimia in yavo ezri. Ezri meimaduna yosei shamayim vares. Al yitei lamod raglecha al yanum shomrecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisroel. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai silcha, yad yiminecha. Yom ha-mashemesh lo yakeka, v'yareyach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikora, yishmar snavshecha. Adonai yishmar seshcha v'olecha, mi'atah v'yad olam.
Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130.
Shir hamalos mimamakim kirasich Adonai. Adonai shema b'choli tiyanaz necha kashuvos b'kol tachanunai. Im avonos tishmar yach Adonai miyamod. Kim cha aslicha liman tivarei. Kivisi Adonai, kisa nafshi, v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi Adonai, mishomrim laboker, shomrim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai yaches, ve'beimo fidus. Behu Yises Yisrael mikol avonosos.
Misha Berach for those who are ill.
Misha Berach Abuseinu Avraham Yisrael Yaakov, Moshe V'Yaron Dovid V'Shlomo, Yivarech V'Yirapes Acholim. Achenu kodes Yisrael, nasuni matzaru vashivyam, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom yirachim aleyem, v'yotziyei misar lirfacha, o'miyafel liyora mishibu l'giyulam, ha'shtabag alav izman kariv, v'nomar amein.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Yemins. As we transition into the next segment of our calls, first and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
That is a wonderful question. Baruch Hashem, overall, we are doing well. B'yayin Hara, my family is doing well. I am enjoying the additional time I get to spend with my kids and my family. I am reinvigorating my chess skills and my Lego building skills that I had lost grip of over the years. But I'm certainly enjoying that extra time with them. And as a shul, as a whole, we are certainly doing well, and we are doing whatever we can to connect to each other and bring people together, still find creative ways to learn, to grow. And I have to say that the resilience of my balabas and my congregants has really been inspiring, and how they have not stopped for a moment in continuing to do what they can to help those around them. At the same time, I would be disingenuous if I didn't acknowledge there are certainly times during a day or during the week where I almost feel like I'm just trying to get through. We're just trying to get through this, hold on to each other and hold on tight. But I certainly continue to draw strength from those around me, my family, and of course my community as well.
Certainly, and we're grateful to hear that everyone is doing well. And I think you articulated it well in how many are feeling sometimes we're riding high and sometimes we're just getting through the day. But I think the most important message I could leave with you is be careful about those Lego pieces in a dark room on the floor. Those things could be deadly and dangerous. To get us started for our listeners who may not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to share with us a brief overview of the shul and the community in general?
Sure. We are located here in Northeast Philadelphia, and our area of Northeast Philadelphia is officially called Ronhurst. Here there are a few shuls, Ashkenazim and Sfardim, Chabad, and I would say at least there's a good 350 Orthodox families right here in our community. All the shuls are geographically close to each other, which enables us to really feel like a sense of community, people being able to walk the different shuls at different times. And there's a real variety of hashkafa here, of people's backgrounds and experiences. And it's growing. We are growing rapidly in this community. There's been close to 50 families that have moved in here in the last few years. The local school now has over 400 kids, and the young face of the shul of the community continues to grow every single year. And I think people are attracted to the community because of its, number one, its location. We are less than 2 hours from New York. There are still always a few people that will even travel to Wall Street or to New York City or other places in New York to work on a daily basis. We are just over an hour from Lakewood and just 2 hours from Baltimore. So location-wise, people who have family would like to celebrate a simcha in the other larger cities around us have the ability to do so relatively easily. It is incredibly affordable here. The cost of housing, the cost of living, the lifestyle is very wholesome and very meaningful. And that's also a big attraction. The school options, there are a number of school options for all levels of schooling, including high school for boys and for girls and co-ed. And so as our tagline has been, when you move here, you can stay here. We have the opportunity to share resources with the greater Philadelphia area. As a result, we are able to have access to a really flourishing greater community. There's been a college just opened up, a brand new, a large supermarket just opened up. So Baruch Hashem, things are growing here in the community. Our shul, just very, very quickly, our shul is also growing. And what's beautiful about our shul is that it is such a broad shul. We do have that big tent mentality. But because we're only 100 plus families, it really forces everybody to embrace each other and to work together and to attend events together. No matter what the background of the speaker is or the nature of the program is, people have the ability to learn and understand and break things down and appreciate each other and appreciate ideas, even if they may have different opinions on certain aspects of it. And that's a really beautiful thing.
Truly wonderful. Our communities are so blessed to have truly incredible, wonderful leadership, rabbinic leadership, lay leadership. The question for you is, what motivated and drove you to go into the rabbinate, to become a pulpit rabbi?
Also a wonderful question. It was certainly a journey for me. Didn't start off that way. I went from general business to accounting to chinuch to kiruv, and now to being in the rabbinate. But what is the most rewarding thing, and really what motivated me at the end to join, was the ability to just be able to help people every day. I love people. I cherish relationships with people. And I felt this was the greatest, most impactful way that I could have a real meaningful relationship with people and help them grow in their lives and be able to experience their lives with them as their families navigate life. And I wake up every day feeling a certain sense of humility, knowing I am a messenger of God in this meaningful capacity, but every day I wake up with knowing I have so much to accomplish. I have so much I can get to, and it's very rewarding. And I will say that after now doing this for now 7 years, 5 years as a senior rabbi and 2 years as an assistant, that what I've come to realize is the greatness in people. And there is so much greatness in individual people that are not possible for most people to see. But I have the ability to see that in many people, and it really is inspiring to see the resilience and really the kindness and greatness that so many people really have inside.
Amazing. Very, very inspirational. Last question for today, Rabbi Yemin. The world has changed dramatically as a result of the pandemic. And change is, will be, and will continue to be everywhere. What communal changes do you anticipate for yours and the broader Jewish community?
So obviously the use of technology for good is certainly going to change everything. The incredible resilience that has been accumulated in all of us individually, collectively, who knows the impact that's going to make on the future of the national and the world Jewish community. But one thing that I think about is that I recall towards the beginning of the pandemic after it hit, and just noticing how all of the national organizations sprung into action and sharing resources of all types with every community, with us as rabbis, and using technology, people were able to share resources and people were fundraising for other organizations and helping each other in different ways with relationships, with parenting, with teaching, and all types of ways. And I remember sitting there at one point before Pesach and thinking, Mika Amcha Yisrael, who was like the Jewish people, to see how quickly we all spring into action to help each other. And what I take from this, and I think that we all will take from this experience, is that if should we ever have to, Rahmana Litzlan, heaven forbid, have to deal with a large national, international challenge again, we know that we're not going to be alone. We know that we are going to be doing this together as a greater community, and that is a very, very meaningful feeling. It is the worst feeling when you're going through a challenge to feel alone and to know how talented, how energized, and how kind and caring and compassionate the Jewish people are is certainly an encouraging thought and a special thought to think about as we navigate future challenges in the world.
It's a beautiful response, and not one that I think we've heard yet on this call. And I think it's so important. And one of the, I think, remarkable things to me about this call is not only the fact that it's still happening now nearly 8.5 months since it began, what we thought would be a 2 or 3 week initiative back in March, but a chevra, a group of people across the world who call in every single day to learn together, to daven together, but also just to be together. And we don't all know each other, but to be together and to give each other that chizuk, to give each other that strength. And if I could just piggyback on what you shared, that we also have, and one of the reasons why we've kept these calls to highlighting, and we're pulpit rabbis really across North America, is really highlight the incredible leadership we have. And that no one should be alone, no one should feel alone, and certainly to reach out to their rabbi, to their rebbetzin, to their community's leadership, whatever their needs might be. Rabbi Yemin, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova for good. And may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the Master of the World, please speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Wednesday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for words of inspiration from Rabbi Elchanan Shapp of Beit Knesset, L.A. in Los Angeles, California. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.